lights, pink lines of the hanging tree. My legs quivering and shaking, the stems of fallen leaves.
Shots fired. Woo! Back to the future. Whoa. Catching air like I hit a floating Buddha. Whoa. Move bitch out the way like I'm Luda. I'm making moves like I'm doing Kama Sutra. Woo! Doing Kama Sutra. Whoa. Move bitch out the way like I'm Luda. Whoa. Doing Kama Sutra. Whoa. Move bitch out the way like I'm Luda. Hold up.
Good evening, Vancouver. You are listening to UBC Happy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. UBC Happy Hour is produced by the UBC Affairs Collective. So if you like what you hear and you want to help make this show, send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca. I'm Amy.
I'm Sadie.
I'm Catherine.
Jennifer.
And I'm Alex, and welcome to the show, everyone. On last week's episode, we were talking about AMS elections, and we had the presidential candidates on the show, and we also had Max Holmes, who's the VP academic, and he was talking about his rejection of the Interfraternity Council's endorsement of his candidacy. And yeah, this week we're continuing the AMS elections coverage, and we're kind of broadcasting at a little bit of an awkward time for this because the voting closed at 4 p.m. today, and then the results are announced at 6. But we're kind of squishing some more info in between those times.
Yeah. Also, we had a really rad episode yesterday.
Yes.
For International Women's Day. So go listen to that on our website.
Yeah.
It's really rad.
Yeah, and we're still women broadcasting. Well,
every day is International Women's Day.
Exactly. Yeah, so on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about voter apathy, and then we're also going to be talking about some of the referendums that were on the ballots, some better than others, or some kind of better presented than others. So first off, so last week when Sadie and I went around and asked students for questions for the presidents, there were a lot of students who didn't even know about the elections.
I just have so many thoughts on this and a lot of kind of just anger about it.
Anger? Wow.
Well, it's just...
Elaborate.
Anger. It's just... There's so many things... Like, today, during my chemistry course, you know, a student was like, vote in the AMS elections. They close later today. And I feel like people should be campaigning long before voting starts, long before the last day, and students should have greater awareness about what's happening.
That's so true. That happened in my class today. So, I don't even know his name. He was like, voting closes at 4. Come vote for me. This is my platform. Nobody was listening, but...
Yeah, and she was just talking about, like, the U-Pass, and that's such an important thing. Like,
I love
the U-Pass. Like, I don't want to be paying full price for that. And it's dependent on so many students voting, and people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of money and a lot of our experience.
A lot of that, there's a post that the UBC came out with. It was, like, how we live, and it said that 39% of the students who go here have their tuition paid for in full.
By, like, family?
Yeah, or like they don't have to worry. Like, finances are not a worry for them. So, like, I wonder if that contributes to people not caring about who's their president because it doesn't affect them regardless.
But that's not the majority, and they're wrong. It does affect them.
Yeah. It's, like, regardless of where the money is coming from, like, the decisions made by the AMS still affect you. It doesn't, like, matter necessarily. But like, I think you make a good point because – we're going to play, like, the streeter that, you know, because when we went and talked to students, we're going to hear, like, what students had to say about the elections kind of when we just approach them. Kind of.
Find the good place.
Yeah, we were like, oh, it's so fun talking to students because, like, on the streets. Because, yeah, you're just kind of like, okay, who looks like they're going to talk to me? Who isn't eating or involved in, like, a really intense phone conversation right now?
Who doesn't have headphones on.
Yeah, and who's looking down like they're really mad at the world. I'm like,
yeah, if you're walking in a pair... Alex and I are going to come
back. Yeah. It's like, do not look happy because we will find you. There was a student that brought that up. Like, he was like, you know, I pay for my own tuition. So I feel like kind of more inclined to care about these issues. So, yeah, so we're going to hear that. And then we're going to kind of talk more about voter apathy. Okay, so are you guys voting in this year's AMS elections?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Do
you know who is running?
No.
I don't remember the names.
But you've heard about it?
Yeah, I've heard about it.
I've not heard about it.
Okay, so are you guys planning on voting in this year's AMS elections?
Yes.
She'll probably make me, so... Yeah, I will.
Do you say she'll probably make me?
Yeah, or remind me.
Why are you voting?
Well, because we have the right to vote, and in a lot of countries you can't vote. So if you can vote for something, then you should vote. So.
Cool. Do you know who any of the candidates are?
Not by name, but I read a few of the platforms.
So will you be voting in the AMS elections?
Probably not.
Interesting. Do you know anything about them?
No.
So are you guys voting in the AMS elections?
Yeah, we are.
Do you know who the candidates are?
No. We are going to look it up online.
Yeah, is there anything that you're kind of like not content with on campus, or...
I don't really know what the AMS does.
I don't really spend a lot of time.
Do you think that there's a need to have kind of like greater transparency about what the AMS actually does?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's something that we've heard kind of a lot among people. Like,
I don't even really know what the AMS is. I just know it hosts events.
Yeah.
I don't know who the AMS is, though.
So your tuition money actually goes for paying these candidates' salary, as well as like a number of things for clubs and whatever. So knowing that, does that change your perception on like whether
the... Yeah, so each position, so like the president, and then there are four vice presidents that each have a different role, and so they each actually work 40 hours a week, and they're paid $32,000 a year, so it's basically a full-time position. So do you think that the fact that they're paid, like, should that change students' perceptions about voting, that it's not volunteer-based, or...
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be good for people to know that.
Because, or like who they are. I thought AMS was separate from UBC at one point. Like, I had no idea what it is. I still don't even know. But yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay, thanks, guys. So, are you guys planning on voting in the AMS elections?
We could.
Why were you planning on not really voting before this conversation?
I just kind of never thought about it.
Yeah. Did you know that the elections were happening?
Yes. I think I saw something on Facebook.
Okay. Okay. Do you know like what the AMS does?
They do a lot of...
I know that they run pretty much everything.
Yeah, and like
and there's a lot of clubs and stuff, but
yeah. Do you think that like students should be more informed about what the AMS does, or do you think it's pretty good right now?
I think maybe a bit more. Yeah. Just cuz it's not really clear.
Okay. Cool. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
So, did you know that AMS elections are happening?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Are you planning on voting?
Yes.
Do you know who the candidates are?
I know that there are three presidential candidates, and I know that Max Holmes is running unopposed for VP, because I saw that story in the UBC, and I just saw a little bit of the presidential people. I haven't seen the other candidates.
Do you know anything about the presidential candidates, or?
One is a mature student. I think that his campaign is working with, like, more Aboriginal issues, along with, like, obviously you're trying to better the AMS. I'm sure everyone's trying to do that. One guy is a questionable religious person, and another one, her platform seemed a little bit more, I think she was the one that was more involved in AMS, so I feel like she had a more like structured approach to her thing, which is interesting. So yeah, it's an interesting race.
Yeah, you seem to be the most informed of anyone we've spoken
really?
To.
Really? Oh, God.
Because you actually know who's running. Why is that? Like, where did you get your information from?
I love the UBC. I just read the UBC all the time.
Do you kind of take the election seriously? Or?
I do, only because it's like there's a lot of money that gets allocated, and like people should know what your money, because you pay for it. Like, if you look at the breakdown, you should know what your money is going to, and you should vote for your conscience, and then we should, you know, I don't know how some of these people get to be candidates, because, like, some of their platforms are just disturbing. Like, I like the joke candidates are really funny, and, but, like, some of the people that are, like, go up there with, like, really horrible things to say about the world, it should not be allowed up there.
Okay, so do you think that there should be more regulation around who can run?
I think that it's a two-way street, you know, like, I blame a lot of the apathy on, like, the fact that AMS presidents in the past will say whatever to get elected, and then, like, nothing will really happen, nor do they care to demonstrate how much they're doing, because you can't really run for re-election. So I get that side of it, but I also feel like students should, like, I don't know, maybe because a lot of people, like, I pay for my own tuition, so, like, obviously I care a lot more, and, like, I understand that, like, maybe a lot of people are, like, here for other reasons, so, like, that could be contributing to it, but at the end of the day, I feel like people should, like, be concerned about, like, I mean, we all go here, we all use AMS services, I mean, we all probably enter the nest once a week, you should probably know what's going on around there, but that's just me.
Yeah, do you feel pretty comfortable about, like, do you know what the AMS does? Are you pretty,
Well, they run all the services that they have here. I'm not sure. I know they run, like, a lot of, like, there's, like, AMS tutoring, anything with, like, AMS brand on it, obviously, and the businesses inside, or, like, they have a hand in. I'm not exactly sure beyond that what they do. I know that they're in charge of, like, events as well. There's AMS events, but I'm not sure about, like, things that maybe would not be obvious.
Yeah. Do you think that there should be better transparency from the AMS about what they do?
I feel like the AMS should do themselves a favor and get their own contributions out there and get more people interested in what they're doing. It's kind of like, okay, like, if you want people to not be apathetic anymore, like, you should say, like, hey, we want you involved because we're going to do this that's going to benefit you, and we're going to tell everyone about it afterwards.
So, are you guys planning on voting in the AMS elections?
Heck
haven't done enough research to vote.
Can I ask, why do you think you haven't been engaged so far?
I just transferred, so that's my...
Okay, yeah, so are you new this semester?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Where did you transfer from?
From Western, like, Ontario.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
UWO.
Was it, were people, like, engaged with campus politics there, or...?
Yeah, there was, like, definitely a lot of, like, campus, like, politics, and then we also... I felt that a lot of people shared a lot more about who was, like, who was running and everything, and so, like, there's a lot of, like, push for people, and I feel like it's also a smaller campus, so, like, the engagement was easier than something of, like, UBC size.
Yeah. Do you find, like, do you find you don't really know a lot about the elections, or?
Yeah. At, like, UBC, I haven't, like, put in any effort to figure it out, but I, like, at Western, a few of my friends were involved, so I, like, put more.
Okay.
I like Star Trek.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
I love The Lord of the Rings.
Great.
Yeah. I'm into obscure 1950s atomic monster movies.
Okay.
Sure. I really enjoyed the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
We can work with that. Here at the UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, we accept everyone. We have weekly movies, game nights, and the largest non-academic library at UBC. Come by our club room, 3206D in the Nest. It's a great place to eat lunch, hang out,
and procrastinate.
Check out our Facebook group, UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, to find out what's going on.
Okay, so you're listening to UBC Happy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. And yeah, you just heard from some students that Sadie and I accosted on the streets of Main Mall.
I like to think that we got at least a few more people to vote in these elections.
Yeah, I think if anything, like, we served as like a public service announcement for
elections. Totally did.
But yeah, what do you guys think? Like, did you guys vote in the elections?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you, like, did you have any issues with, like, how the elections were kind of run or, like, presented?
Yes.
Okay.
And I won't elaborate. personally, my biggest problem was with the, referendums. It was very biased. AMS being like, vote for this or you don't get a U-Pass. And, like, that stuff. And, like, they just made it seem like, oh, you should really vote yes. And it's just like, how about you be, like, you should be a neutral, like, party in this. I don't think that you should be influencing how students will vote, because maybe they'll you might trick them into voting against their interests, and that's not really fair.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that like further in the show, but yeah, that was a really weird aspect of the election.
Also, some of like the senators and some of the parts of the ballot where you clicked like five or something. First of all, you could vote like for more. There was something weird in the actual ballot that a lot of people were talking about, but also some people didn't bother to write like short biographies.
One guy's biography was just like, I like to ski, and I was like, it.
If you're gonna represent me, like, I want a little bit more effort, please.
Yeah,
I'm like, I like to ski too. Yeah.
Perfect. That's
all. Also really disadvantages them, because when I was voting, I only voted for the people whose biography I could read, because I didn't know anything about the other candidates, so that really puts them at a really severe disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's their fault, but like, we also don't know that, like, maybe it's people who are more in with it, like, new to do that, but maybe they didn't. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, talking about, you know, voter apathy and how, because last year it was almost 21% of the student body voted, which was, like, a very high amount, an unusually high amount. Normally in past years it's been, like, 12%, you know,
which
so it's a really
so
small.
Little, and that's unacceptable in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It makes so much sense. I've only voted twice throughout my entire undergrad. Two times. Three times if you include this year, and it won't even affect me because I'm graduating.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I remember when I was in first year, I voted, and I don't even, like, I think that in that year's elections, there were a lot more candidates in each position, because to run for these positions, basically any, like, UBC student can run for these positions. You just have to get 50 signatures from fellow UBC students kind of endorsing you, and then you're, like, free to run. So it's, yeah, it depends on the year. Like, sometimes, like, there have been past years where there's, like, five, six, seven, you know, candidates running, and you're like, how would I be able to differentiate between all of these people, especially when people's platforms are really similar and they kind of use like all fluffy terms, and you're like, how would I differentiate between what they're what they stand for?
Yeah, and I understand that they're students and that it's a lot to ask them to campaign on top of their schoolwork, but at the same time, I feel like it should be the candidacies and the referendums should be drawn out over a longer period of time just to up people on campus's awareness and, you know, force people to engage just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like there's probably a little bit of voter apathy in terms of, like, you know, you just, like, with the presidents more so because you have a more variety of people running. People who are running for, like, VP admin, I don't think they're going to be, like, that, like, very different from each other. But for the presidents running, I think people often feel it's like, well, one of them's the AMS person, so they'll likely win. I know that didn't really happen, like, last year, but, like, I think that that probably happens, like, enough that it's, like, all just, like, well, like, it's like you don't really know what these people do, and you're just like, well, like, this person's just going to win it anyway.
Right. It's like the idea of passing the buck. It's like you're just passing kind of the responsibility of voting onto other students because you assume that you know the results, so you don't feel the need to vote. But yeah. Isn't that kind of like what happened with Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like,
maybe this year it'll shoot up because everyone will be like, we learn our lesson. We got to vote.
I mean, in the States, it's millennials and kind of that whole generation. Mm-hmm. That were kind of the issue, and there was a lot of apathy there. But I think it's really important to start voting and participating when you're young because you have so much say.
That's a really good point, though, about, like, that's how in, like, elections are always, like, trying to get, like, the younger generation to vote, and, like, we never do. And it's like, well, why would it be so different for university? Like, it should be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but that's just, like, a... This is, like, the worst demographic to get involved in voting.
But I think that if students develop the habit of voting when they're at university, then having graduated, they would be far more likely to go out and vote in provincial mm-hmm. elections. Good and point. Federal yeah. elections.
Mm-hmm. Was there, you know how we were talking about how they haven't campaigned enough? Is there a time period that they're allowed to? Like, when?
So they're only allowed to campaign the week after reading break. So they are only allowed to campaign, like, last week and then this week. So they have 2 weeks of campaigning. And last week were when all, like, the debates happened. And then this week was kind of, like, the, I don't know, the last, like, kind of leg of the campaigning.
Yeah. So, that I don't know if that should be changed. Because that's not a lot of time to read up on, you know, someone. Mm-hmm. Or for us, I mean, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I feel like an issue is that, like, I mean, it's not an issue per se, but the fact that so many students rely on, like, the UBC or other, like, campus media outlets for their information, because the AMS website sucks. And, like, honestly, their social media is horrible. Yeah. So it's just, like, students aren't connecting with the AMS. And that was one thing that came up a lot when we were talking to students on the streets was, like, I don't even know what the AMS does. Like, who are they? And that's a huge thing, is, like, the AMS needs to kind of convey to students what they do more and get a new website. Like, there are so many comp sci students here who would be happy to make a fantastic website. Like,
doesn't everyone get an email from them?
Yeah.
Like, vote now.
One thing I mentioned, like, about the, like, they're relying on the UBC to go for them. But, like, 2 weeks, it's two copies, unless you're following them online. And also, like, quite a few, like, a little bit of scandal happened, like, this election, and if you're just reading the print edition, it's not enough time. Like, I feel like we need time for, like, the UBC and, like, other media, hopefully, just to, like, go through every candidate, because it was just this week that they had their issue going through every candidate. If they did, like, not to diss the UBC, I love what they're doing, but if they had, like, candidate profiles online as part of, like, their video, like, department, I think that would be, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is it's, like, I think that there's such a reliance on, like, them and other media as kind of, like, translating the information when, like, it shouldn't be. I don't think students should have to rely on the UBC. I think that it can be, like, a supporting outlet for information, but, like, ultimately the AMS should be able to convey to people who the candidates are, like, in a way that students don't have to necessarily go to the UBC.
I mean, yes, But also, I feel like in some ways the AMS as an institution should stay kind of above it and not really, you know, allow students to make those decisions, and they aren't a media outlet. And so the way that they provide information should be very equal and whatnot. But I also just kind of in addition think the AMS doesn't do a good job in the way that they campaign or do things to really connect with students. Like, I haven't seen the candidates really out and about. I haven't really seen a lot of information or posters or flyers about the referendums and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Though I will say I have seen a lot from the sustainable food one.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna, I feel like that's like the sexy referendum. You know, it's like, yeah. Like, I mean, just in terms of like issues, like sustainable food is like a sexy issue. Mm-hmm. You know, like fee restructuring or like student court. It's like, that's not a sexy like referendum.
I'm kind of also wondering, because like the AMS doesn't obviously do a great job. I wonder how like much they maybe benefit from low student turnout. Is that, you know, maybe like I'm accusing the AMS of some stuff. I'm being really like harsh on them right now. But it's like, if not a lot of people are voting, and it's mostly people who are very involved in the AMS, more likely to vote for AMS candidates, like very cookie-cutter ones, the ones that they want, that would be easier on them, less out-there candidates that are offering something really different, they could benefit from that because they know what they're going to get.
Right, like it's a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's mostly students who are already engaged in like AMS politics voting.
And same with like the referendums, that if they can like just not present it equally and showing both sides, presenting it more so it's just do this, like you want it, like this is what we want, then like it'll be easier for them to get what they want done and not have drastic shifting between years.
Yeah, so we're gonna move on to an interview that I did with an editor at the Talon and the former VP of the Debate Society, because they were kind of became implicated in one of the referendums. The way that the AMS kind of presented the referendums were quite controversial this year. And so, yeah, I just talked to them about how one of these referendums was going to negatively impact them if it was voted yes, and how the AMS basically was advertising vote yes for this when this group actually didn't have a chance to fairly campaign against it. So, yeah, here's that interview, and then we will be back talking more about voter apathy. Okay, hello. You're listening to UBC Happy Hour, and this is Alex Lenz, and I'm joined by Ismail Askin and Reed Marcus to talk about a referendum as part of the AMS elections called the Fee Restructuring Referendum. So could you guys please introduce yourselves?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Ismail Askin, and I am the current co-chair of the UBC Social Justice Center, which operates under the Resource Groups Collaborative. And I'm also one of the editors of the UBC Talon, and I helped write an article that we posted about this referendum. I've been involved with the SJC on and off since 2012, so I feel like I have a fair amount of experience with the operations of it, and this referendum kind of came out of nowhere for us.
I'm Reed Marcus. I'm a former VP external of the UBC Debate Society, as well as a former training director, and I've been a member of the Debate Society since I was a student at UBC starting in 2011, so I've had extensive experience both running events on campus and dealing with the let's say cynical politicking that the AMS does to try to prevent student clubs from actually achieving their mandates.
Wow. Okay, so this AMS fee restructuring referendum, what is it?
So, and that's one of the big issues we have behind this, is no one is entirely sure what it is. And for context, we only found out about it last week when a member of that sits on student council that was friends with some of the members of the resource groups actually came up to us and said, hey, are you aware of this fee restructuring that's going to be voted upon on Monday? And none of us had heard of it before. We were never consulted. And this comes from a collective that has to engage with the UBC Finance Office on a pretty much weekly basis, as all our funding decisions, all our checks and invoices have to go through the AMS and be approved by the AMS. And so that's how we found out about it, entirely by word of mouth, 2 days, 3 days before voting was opening. As for what the referendum itself is, I'll let Reed explain.
Sure. So right now, UBC students pay a number of fees that go to on-campus groups and clubs. So the fee proposal would sort those fees into two new sections, one which are called exempt, which don't get changed, and then another set that are called renewal fees, which will, if this resolution passes, have to re-campaign to regain their funding every 3 years. Now, all of the 11 fees that are in the renewal section have already established a democratic mandate from the student body. They've had to each individually campaign to get votes from students to be funded. So these fees range mostly from $1 to about $2 per student per year. And in the policy document, which the AMS does not link to the full text of, on the referendum page, where you actually go online to vote, they give a one-sentence justification for why they've chosen to put some fees in the exempt category and the other 11 fees have to perpetually campaign. So it essentially forces arbitrarily 11 clubs and organizations to re-campaign every 3 years, wasting a huge amount of time, energy, and resources, which they would otherwise be able to put towards for the resource groups providing services to students in need who have nowhere else to turn to. And for the clubs, they have to waste time and energy that would otherwise be put towards enriching campus life.
And of course, there's also the issue that all of these fees are also, at least most of them, the resource groups, for example, $1.64, every student has the choice to opt out of them in the fall and not be forced to pay them, which the AMS does not make clear whatsoever. So anyone reading the referendum would think that currently as it stands, every student is forced to pay these fees, but that's not the case. If you do not want to pay these fees, you can still opt out of them. No one's enforced to do this. And in fact, if the AMS was concerned about the financial burden on some students, this would be a great thing to do, to publicize that you can opt out of it alongside publicizing the existence of it, which again, they have not made any effort to do so.
I'd like to add one last thing to that, which is that currently students can campaign if they wish to have a particular fee removed. So the same mechanism that was used to establish each fee, any student, if they have a particular beef with, say, the improv troupe, they could campaign to have that fee eliminated. But instead, the VP Finance has chosen to completely jettison their responsibility for ensuring club transparency onto students themselves.
Yeah, so I want to ask, where did these 11 groups come from? Like, why these specific groups? Has that information been released?
As far as we can tell, there's no good reason. They seem to be fairly arbitrarily chosen. It's 11 groups. Some of them have some connections to each other. Some of them seem completely unrelated. And the one-sentence justification the AMS has given as to why these groups have been selected, it has been that these are apparently not groups that are necessary to the functioning of the student body. Their one-sentence justification says that some fees are exempt because they are necessary to the operations of the AMS and student council. And again, that seems very, very arbitrary, and especially the fact that the resource groups, for example, have been providing such an important resource for survivors on campus, marginalized peoples on campus, the Pride Collective for LGBTQ plus students on campus. The fact that AMS doesn't see these as necessary for UBC students is actually extremely troubling.
In addition to being troubling on the face of it, the fact that none of the affected groups were consulted before the referendum was publicized this Sunday indicates that the AMS doesn't actually care what students think are the groups that are necessary to their own services. And instead, even though members of the Debate Society, the Black Vinyl Project, and a couple of the other arts collective clubs met with VP Finance in person last week, it was never brought up, meaning that the terms that the one-sentence justification uses are just those which the AMS has arbitrarily decided.
Yeah, so in terms of the referendum itself, when students went to vote this week and the referendum came up, when I went to vote, it was really unclear what this referendum actually meant. And yeah, members of my collective and I were talking about how we didn't understand this. Actually, on Monday, we were talking about this. And then these articles came out, and the UBC and the Talon explaining like exactly the implications, which I find troubling. So yeah, there was definitely a lack of like transparency about how this would actually affect students. And you guys talk about how you're unhappy with the handling of the referendum process. So do you want to kind of touch on that?
So one thing that has been particularly sickening to me is that the Vote Yes campaign, which is an official AMS-sponsored campaign, which every single member of the AMS Council voted yes to endorse, has been misleading voters about the nature of the three referendums that are being put up to vote. So a lot of people have come away from the Vote Yes campaign table booth in the Nest with the impression that either all of the campaigns are somehow tied together, or that if they vote yes to one, they have to vote yes to all of the others. This is just a lie, and is either the result of incredible incompetence or active malice on the part of the AMS to mislead students about how the referendum process actually goes. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that a number of our posters have been covered up with Vote Yes posters. So there's just sort of directly shady campaign tactics being used in addition to the misleading information. The third thing is just the very structure of the proposal is confusing. So the idea that you're going to have an arbitrary set of clubs have to re-campaign every 3 years, but that also only three of those fees each three-year funding cycle are eligible for renewal anyway, means that it's an inherently confusing policy, and it's one that is very hard for students to really understand, even if they were faced with the actual text of the document, which they're not.
And I also have to ask, Reed, weren't you mentioning that the official Facebook Vote Yes campaign has also been deleting posts on its event page that have been asking students to vote no or who have been sharing the articles on the UBC and Talon?
Yeah, so I posted a number of comments on the Vote Yes campaign's event page saying that students should vote no for a number of reasons. And the moderator of that page messaged me in a pretty hilariously condescending way saying, oh, you should go through the proper channels and make your own Facebook event page too. So they're really doing their best to suppress accurate information about the consequences of this policy, sort of at every level, both at the top levels of the AMS, and I've had some people who are actually running for positions currently on exec express to me that they are really quite unhappy with the fact that they too were misled about the details of this proposal and its consequences. So at every level of campaigning, the AMS has been either through negligence or through active malice been trying to mislead voters.
Which I find hilariously petty that the AMS would spend so much time and resources to actually go and independently delete posts and comments around this, and it just really doesn't speak well to me, I think, about AMS. But I do want to answer a bit more about the whole transparency concerns, and I think this has been not just about this campaign, but the way the AMS has handled the resource groups in general year after year. It's always been in this very shady manner. So within the actual PDF, one of the reasons that's given for wanting to restructure these fees was stated in one of those little colorful tables that, as the fees currently stand, it allows unused capital to accumulate year after year and just stay there hidden away and not be put to use. And the AMS would make it sound like all these clubs are hoarding this money, whereas the AMS could put it to great use. But I know for a fact, just from the resource group perspective, that entirely lies on the shoulders of the AMS. I was the treasurer of the UBC Social Justice elected 2012, 2013, before I took some time off from UBC. And our current treasurer, he's been a very hardworking individual. And until last year, when he found out that this was actually the case, the resource groups were always told by the AMS, and every treasurer was trained under the pressure that we operated on a deficit budget. There was no concrete money. We would make funding decisions that would be decided democratically. It would go through AMS approval, and if the AMS approved it, then they would fund it. And they said, you have a budget of $10,000, next year $16,000. Whatever you don't spend, because that money isn't there, goes back to the AMS. That was the impression we got and we believed. Last year, it was our treasurer and one of our co-chairs from last year who entirely by chance found out that this was not the case, that we actually did have this physical money. We were just never informed about it, and it was just staying there, accumulating year after year for decades to an amount of $250,000. So right now we have $250,000 that we never knew about, that the AMS failed to communicate or refused to communicate to us, that have just been sitting there, which we could have put into so much use. And now we do want to use that money because we could do so many incredible things for the community at UBC and the wider Fun Vancouver community with that money. But the AMS has made it incredibly difficult to actually access those funds. So this big issue that the AMS AMS is laying in the club's hand is actually entirely in the hands of the AMS. It's their failure to communicate. It's their failure to speak to us with transparency about the nature of our funds, and it's outright misleading.
So why do you think the AMS is so hellbent on this referendum? Like, why are they campaigning so hard for a yes?
It's difficult to say this, but I really feel that, at least from a resource group's perspective, there's always been a lack of trust between the AMS and resource groups. In the past, in 2011, actually, the AMS president tried to block one of the funds that resource groups decided to fund, and it became this huge fiasco on campus. Even the UBC took shots at the AMS for what they said was their responsible handling, because I would like to remind, these funds are directly voted upon by students at UBC, and AMS tried to use their powers to block those funds. And right now, the impression we're getting is the AMS right now looks at this $250,000 in reserve, looks at all this money we have access to, and says, hey, we can do stuff with this money. We want this money, and we want to take this money to put into our own use, is sort of the impression we're getting. It's hard to find another motivation to it.
So with regards to the other clubs that would be affected, to me, this just seems like lazy careerism on the part of the AMS in general, and in particular the current VP Finance, because the VP Finance portfolio is to ensure that student organizations and the UBC community in general are being transparent. So rather than actually doing his job, the VP Finance has instead decided that all future VP Finances will be able to relax a bit and get to claim that they are working in a process that ensures club transparency, when in fact they have completely abrogated their duty and just sort of want to be able to claim that they're increasing democratic student control over finances without actually doing anything substantial. So that's what it looks like to me, in addition to everything that Ishmael said.
And, you know, just in terms of that whole transparency aspect of it, we as the resource groups would be more than willing to sit down, and I'm sure that Debate Club and other groups would be more than willing to sit down with the AMS and make an effort to maybe publicize our budgets regularly to the student body if that's what it takes, because we don't see that as harmful to us. On the contrary, this increase, if we had AMS support for this increased transparency and publicity, we could inform more students about the fact that these organizations exist, and we would be more than happy to consult with the AMS if they actually had concerns about transparency, democracy, to try and figure out a solution to that. As it stands, the AMS has decided that the way to increase transparency is by somehow running an incredibly untransparent campaign. And again, that does not bode well. It's not good for the AMS image. It doesn't say good things about the AMS.
It's important to also remember that the VP Finance does currently have access to every AMS-funded and student-funded club's budget. So the information is out there if they had genuinely wanted to find out whether or not clubs were shadily misusing funds.
Yeah, as I said, we have to submit our budgets on a yearly basis. We don't have money just sitting in a big bag of cash in our office. We have to submit paperwork to the AMS, which the AMS has to approve. The AMS has all the information there. If they really wanted it, more students to know about it, it's entirely within the VP Finance's means to publicize that to the community. It would just take a bit of effort on his part.
Okay, so yeah, Reed and Ishmael, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the student body votes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for helping us get the word out.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC, or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Okay, so you're listening to UBC Happy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. And yeah, that was my interview with Ismael Askin and Reed Marcus, who wrote a letter, an article in the Talon about the fee structuring referendum on this year's AMS elections ballot. And yeah, it was really disturbing to me that, like, how that referendum was presented. Like, what did you guys think when you saw it in the elections when you voted?
When I saw it, I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was like, oh, they're just doing something for the bureaucracy to make their lives easier. Like,
that we have to vote on. So
yeah, because yeah. It's just the way that it works. And that's kind of how it was presented. It wasn't presented as something that was making the lives difficult of clubs and services on campus.
Yeah.
There was an enormous lack of information. And what made me really mad was when I opened up the link that they provided for more information. And all it said was the Sexual Assault Student Support Center. And then there was a whole bunch of information about money. And I thought, if this is about the Sexual Assault Student Support Center, I definitely have a clear opinion on this. But yeah. I don't know what my opinion is, because there was absolutely no information. I think especially for students who work with that organization, that would be really upsetting to know that there's a referendum about the organization that would affect it, but not being, you know, presented the information that informs them how it will be affected and what they can do to influence that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, just for listeners out there who maybe didn't vote or don't go to UBC, like, the referendum, when you went to vote, you know, there was, oh, like, do you vote in favor of this referendum, yes or no? And then if you wanted more information, there was, like, a PDF document there, and, like, I have it open on my computer now, and it's two pages, well, basically, like, one and, like, a quarter page. And it was super short, basically didn't give any information. Like, it was, if you're just like an average student who's reading this, you really wouldn't know what the consequences of voting yes or no meant.
And we've been talking about voter apathy, and it's very clear that, like, students don't really care. And it's the AMS's job not to give out opinions or, like, spoon feed opinions, but just to give them facts and let students make those opinions on their own. And I really feel that the AMS didn't do this in this case. They didn't provide the information, and they very much suggested that students should just vote yes without thinking about it.
Yeah, and not even, like, just suggested, but literally there were campaigns all over the nest. They had a hashtag, vote yes, to all the referendum. And as Reed said, the AMS really kind of framed it as though you had to almost vote yes for all of the referendum. So it's like, yeah, the Compass card, do we want that renewed? A lot of students do want that renewed. Most students do want that renewed. So students who are voting yes to the Compass card are going to, like, probably be misled to vote in favor of this one as well. And then you package this up with the sustainable food referendum, which students were, like, overwhelmingly in support of. So, yeah, really weird. And also the fact that, like, they were not, like, the groups that this was going to affect never heard about this from the AMS, and they kind of heard about it through the grapevine, is so disturbing, because how can you have a fair election if the groups who are going to be affected don't even have a chance to, like, create a vote no campaign?
It's undemocratic.
It is. Yeah. It is. And, like, to me, it's super sketchy, because it's like the AMS are the ones holding the elections. So you kind of trust them to be a neutral body in this. Like, the fact that they're putting forth referendums and then packaging them up as, like, this super positive thing, and then not allowing these groups to have, like, a fair say in a campaign against them is so sketchy.
And I would suspect that this referendum will pass, because it was almost too late when the Vote No campaign started. And in my eyes, it doesn't really make it legitimate.
Yeah, and it's weird to me, too, that, like, basically the distinction that they made between, you know, clubs that would be exempt, so clubs that wouldn't have to go through this renewal process. So, like, CITR were included in that groups of we don't have to go through the referendum. It was basically kind of just like, oh, well, these groups are kind of giving something, like, unique on campus, or, you know, something along those lines. And it's like, how is the Pride Collective not offering
unique.
Yeah, something that, like, another club is offering. So Anyway, yeah, results come out in 10 minutes, so we'll see if this passes. But yeah, super quickly, we wanted to give an update on kind of a follow-up to our show last week. So we talked to Max Holmes, who's a VP academic, and he had written a letter in the UBC about that he was rejecting the endorsement of the Interfraternity Council because of comments that they made at a meeting that really kind of rubbed him the wrong way regarding survivor-centric approaches to sexual assault, which Max Holmes has been very publicly adamant about. And yeah, so you can read Max's letter in the UBC. You can find it on their website. But just 3 days ago, Jariah Newman, who is the president of the Interfraternity Council, is resigning following that letter from Max. So yeah, he just published a letter in the UBC. And I'm just going to read the first sentence that he wrote here. I would like to personally apologize for the phrasing of questions at an all-presidents meeting last Tuesday, in which myself and our executives held a Q&A with candidates for this year's AMS elections. So, yeah, he is resigning. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm pleased to hear that Max's actions had a very direct outcome. I think that other people who are in his situation, either because they are survivors or just any marginalized people that are struggling to have their voices heard and to speak up against those who are making them feel inferior in a community, I think that it'd be really, really motivational for them to hear that someone actually had the courage to bring up the fact that they were feeling victimized or insulted by other people's comments, and then have those people respond in a very supportive way. And I mean, this Jariah is resigning, but he's resigning in a way that I think he mentioned later on in the letter that he is going to go to efforts to ensure that he is more informed about sexual assault and the survivor-centric approaches. And so I think it would be really inspiring for people who are in Max's situation to see that this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, like, it's also not necessarily about the individuals. Like, I don't know whether Jariah made these comments or whether there were other people at the meeting who made them. But, you know, it's obviously symbolic, and it's hopefully representative of, like, changing norms within our culture on campus and within the culture of, like, the fraternities and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, these elections have been really, really crazy. But, yeah, so kind of last up. So Julia Ferry, one of our contributors, she spoke to some folks from Sprouts about the sustainable food referendum. So kind of going to end on a happy note, because I think that
yes,
that one's going to pass.
Food. I love sustainable food. I really want to have chickens next year, but I don't think my housemates are going to let me, and I'm really upset about it because I just want to have their gold chickens.
Oh, my God. Yes. Keep us updated on the but, yeah, sustainable food. So we're going to hear about this referendum, which was a little bit, well, actually much less controversial than the one that we just heard about fee restructuring. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. We're with Nikki Lax and Sam Puddycombe, and they are representing a referendum that is coming from small seeds spread around UBC. Do you guys think you can give yourself an introduction and what you stand for?
Sure. Well, we're both been heavily involved in Sprouts for the last couple of years, and UBC Farm in general, the alternative food scene on campus. And yeah, we just really wanted to give that a little bit of a boost, and that's where this referendum's coming from.
So what exactly is this referendum you're speaking about?
So this referendum is just asking for 35 cents from every student to pool together to create a sustainable food access fund. And that fund would go to subsidize food at 3 on-campus cafes that are student-run, that serve organic, locally sourced food that's really tasty and really affordable. And it would also go to create a discount at UBC Farm and Roots on the Roof, the garden on the nest. So it's the kind of cooperative idea of a little bit from everyone can actually make things a lot better for everybody on campus.
Cool. And so which are the cafes that you guys are referencing?
Well, we've got the UBC Sprouts Cafe, which is going to be implemented in this fall. It's had a little bit of a hiatus while the new sub, or the sub is getting renovated. We've got Seedlings, which is an offshoot of Sprouts, which is in the Graduate Student Building. And then we have the Agora Cafe, which is in McMillan.
Very cool. I've had a couple of meals there for sure, and they're really delicious. What exactly is the organization like? I mean, what is the food? What is it so important to you guys to bring this forward to the students out there?
None of us have ever run a business before, per se. And none of us have, you know, a financial background, per se. And today's food system isn't really financially accommodating towards these alternative food outlets. So we're realizing all that while we're just trying to strap together a cafe and serve, you know, food that comes from a good place and goes to a good place. So creating a subsidy, creating some kind of like financial buffer would actually give us the support to fulfill our mission. You know, we wouldn't be strapped to decide if we're getting our potatoes from a farmer in Delta or if we can actually afford real, really, really beautiful squash from UBC Farm. We would be allowed to have a lot more flexibility in the programs. We could be giving lunches for free for folks who can't make the cost of the lunches. We could be giving away our vegetable boxes for folks who like actually could really benefit from having free vegetables every week. And it would just allow us to fulfill our mission without being, you know, strapped as we usually are.
Yeah, so far it's basically been running on like the goodwills and intentions of students, but there would just be so much more opportunity if it was goodwill intentions and a little bit of money to get some of these ideas rolling. Obviously, like, we still are going to be contributing the majority of the funding towards all of these ideas, but it's just to get a little bit of the capital to get some of the dreams that these organizations have been having to really get them going.
So what are some situations when you feel like, oh man, we've been really strapped, like what are we going to do? Or
that's like every time you look at the budget and financial situation so far.
It's there's been a funny trend every year, at least in Sprouts, and Sam and I are more involved in Sprouts. There's the semi-annual general meeting, and for the past few years, every time the treasurers get up to say what the status is on money, they're just like, it's great, we're fine, we're not for profit, you know, and then they wink and everyone's like, haha, yeah, not for profit. But then this year we're starting to uncover all of these, like, you know, overdue expenses and things coming in, and like, oh wow, we actually owe people money because we actually exist in the real capital world of our food system. And now we're starting to transition into these like meetings where we can say like, hey, we're doing okay, and we have numbers to show you, and we're just barely making it. Last term, for instance, Seedlings, the cafe, ran at about a $200 deficit, which is great for Sprouts, but ridiculous for any real business, given we don't actually pay anybody that works for Sprouts. So again, having a bit of that subsidy we wouldn't have to worry about being $200 short.
Yeah, and I guess speaking on the farms we have, because that's also a big part of this referendum, is the farm has got its hands in going so many directions, and it's receiving bits and pieces of funding from many, many different places and for many different applications. And I worked with the farm two summers ago, interning for sort of their market program. And it isn't really feasible for them either to really offer their produce without that organic price premium that, you know, really is limiting to a lot of people. And we don't want people to be unable to purchase the food that's grown right here at UBC. So this referendum would also just allow people to actually have access to that financially, without the farm actually having to, you know, financially give up their position of being profitable.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's a lot of competition, because everywhere you go with organic food, it's like, oh my God, I'm really making my wallet cry. And I mean, thinking about what you guys do with Sprouts, with the Community Eats, that must be a lot of donations that you guys give.
Yeah, I think a lot of everything that we do is definitely run off donations. But I think the idea is that everything is supposed to be very approachable and kind of like normalized. So if UBC Farm Produce was the same cost as the produce being sold at the Nest, that would be pretty cool. And people wouldn't actually have to, they could actually think morally about where they want to put their dollar and not just thinking about the difference in cost. And be able to look at our food that we sell at Sprouts and Agora and Seedlings and compare that to other food on campus. Ours is actually cheaper, but being able to make it normal, because I think the idea with Sprouts is and Seedlings and Agora is that you can walk into these cafes and get really high quality food that's good for the environment and good for you and not be intimidated by it, not, you know, making it actually something you can interact with. You can buy a lunch that's vegan and organic and it's friendly and it's there and it's easy and you don't even have to think about it. And I think same with the farm, you know, everything that we're trying to do and this referendum helps us do it is just make this food a bigger part of everyone's normal daily lives. And that's why we want it to be on campus and for students here. There's so many people here that if everyone came to these programs, we could actually make a lot of a difference.
Yeah, I think the point of the referendum is in the referendum's name. It's an access fund. That's really all it's trying to do. We have a lot of great programming here. We are just trying to give it a little bit extra bit of accessibility to all students on campus, because right now it is kind of just a bit niche, and we want it to, you know, blossom into something a bit larger for the whole UBC student community.
Thinking about the elections and having this referendum, do you think then that changing this way of accessibility to food can also be considered something quite political in the microcosm of UBC and the people at large, the humanity at large?
Yeah, certainly for the microcosm at UBC. I think there's, at least in the circles that I'm with, there's a lot of discontent in necessarily how the university and the institution in general actually actively promotes sustainability. And there's these on-campus initiatives run by students who are really trying to do great things regarding those initiatives. And we just want to see a bit more support from the AMS, from UBC as an institution. And this is sort of our way of, working more within the institution to get what we need.
Yeah. Brain food, I guess.
Brain food, yeah.
I think food and food access and everything within this, as far as where this money is coming from and where it's going, is an inherently political thing. I think it's very much a leading from the back political action, where it's just this like slow kind of building change that's happening within UBC that really could expand. And because food is something that we interact with throughout our day, every day, I think if it becomes a political thing, it'll become a very involved political thing. I think that's pretty cool that food can do that. I think that's probably why we're all involved with it.
Very lovely. Well, I guess for everyone who's listening out there, come to Sprouts, Agora, and Seedlings.
And come hang out with us and eat some granola bars.
Cool beans.
Okay, so that was Julia Ferry's interview with Sprouts, which is a sustainable food organization on campus, and they were in the sustainable food referendum as part of the AMS elections. So this is UBC Happy Hour. This show is made by the UBC Affairs Collective. So if you want to help make this show, you can send us an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca. And we're going to duck out. Radio Pizza Party is up next, and we're going to head to the pit to catch the results of the election. So the UBC will be posting them, and so will AMS election. So until next week.
Steve, how's it going?
Good. This is a Radio Pizza Party from CITR in Vancouver. And we're just going to do a little intro, then we can go into the interview. Does that work for you? Or hello?
Oh, it works for me. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?